Welcome to St. Louis on the Air. For just graduated high school seniors planning to attend college this fall, this is both an exciting and uncertain time, especially for students from low-income families. It's sometimes so overwhelming, a large number of students wind up not going to college after acceptance. There are many questions about the transition and finalizing plans, and we can answer some of them today as we talk about a summer-long and free college counseling program called the High School to College Center. It's operated by St. Louis Graduates, an organization which is dedicated to increasing the number of first-generation and low-income students who receive a post-secondary school education. I'm Don Marsh. Joining me in studio to talk about the High School to College Center are Faith Sandler, is co-chair of St. Louis Graduates and executive director of the Scholarship Foundation of St. Louis. The foundation provides financial support for post-secondary students. Shauna Cunningham is counselor manager at the High School to College Center and guidance counselor at Central Visual and Performing Arts High School in St. Louis. Kalila Beecham is a volunteer counselor at the High School College Center and a college advisor with Missouri College Advising Corps, which seeks to increase college enrollment and completion among Missouri students. If you are the parent of a youngster going to college this fall or a student preparing to go and have a question, we'll soon be taking calls at 382-8255. Ladies, thanks so much for being with us. Nice to have you.
Thanks for having us, Don.
This is an important subject, more important than I might have thought, because so many kids decide in the midst of this transition not to go to college. We'll talk more about that. But Faith Sandler, let me turn to you for kind of an overview of what St. Louis Graduates is up to with the center.
St. Louis Graduates began almost 5 years ago. It's a collaboration of nonprofit organizations, business interests, community leadership, all aligned around the goal of increasing degree completion in our region. Our goal is that 50% of our adults will have a post-secondary degree or certificate by the year 2020. We are focusing our efforts on low-income and first-generation students, as you explained. And in addition to measuring the region's progress towards boosting degree completion, we provide professional development for those working directly with those students. We provide a scholarship clearinghouse and matching opportunity for area students. And this summer, we have this fabulous new resource, because part of what St. Louis Graduates does is says, what are the gaps that no one of us can fill? What are the things that we can do better together? Across jurisdictions, across school district boundaries, across professional categories, what's not getting done? And in the case of the center, what was not getting done is so many students getting to high school graduation, crossing the stage, throwing that cap in the air, everyone celebrating that critical milestone, intending to go to college the following fall. Their high school shuts down. Counselor is not available to them anymore, and something happens over the summer that gets in the way. And we can't afford to let that something get in the way when we've been with that student all the way to that threshold.
I know the focus is on low-income students. Mm-hmm. However, many of the same questions arise for those who don't fall into that category. Are they welcome at the center as well?
Absolutely. So while we have focused our efforts on the student who is a high school senior going to college for the first time, who is low income or first generation, we're not testing that at the door. We're not asking that of people who come in. We're there for anyone who has questions that we can help answer.
And this is a pilot program, as I understand it.
It's a pilot program that was born about 6 weeks before we opened the door, literally an idea from the floor of professionals who are in that professional development session who said, we need to do something about this and we should be able to do it this summer. Can St. Louis Graduates help lead and coordinate that effort? So here we are.
I'm going to turn for the moment to Kalila and to Shauna, because you've been at it for literally just a few days now, correct? Is that
correct, just over a week.
Right. Okay, Kalila, let me begin with you. What have you found in this week? I know you've been busy, but what are you finding in terms of the questions that are being asked and the problems that are being raised?
We have had a lot of questions about financial aid, a lot of students who are uncertain about how they're going to pay to enroll in the fall, or where do I go? I want to start somewhere. Can you all help me? So every day for 7 days a week until August 18th, we are welcoming all of the students. Come in. Any questions that you have, there's no question that is too big or too small that we're not going to find the answer for you. I enjoy doing this as I do work with Missouri College Advising Corps as a college advisor headquartered at the University of Missouri. So I don't exclusively recruit for MU. We want all of our students to go where it's their best fit. So I enjoy being able to do this over the summer and being able to work with the students so that they can know that this is possible.
It is possible. Shauna, it comes as no surprise to me, and certainly not to you or anybody at this table, that the dollars and cents part of this equation is really a tough one. We're hearing so much about how difficult it is to afford college these days and that enormous debt that so many students have to come up with.
Absolutely. And so far, many of the questions we have fielded have been around the area of financial aid. Oftentimes, students will receive their package, their attendance, their letter, the financial aid letter, and they need some clarification on just what that means. And we have representatives from the Scholarship Foundation there to assist students and families to look through that process and to understand. We also have professional counselors there who can look and look at what the options are for students, as well as look at what the gap is. The financial aid, understanding what sorts of loans students might need to take out, as well as what sort of scholarships they've received to go ahead and meet that gap so that they can attend school in the fall.
This can be fairly complicated stuff. I mean, paperwork is paperwork. It's sometimes difficult.
It is very complicated, or it can be. And sometimes just spending an hour or two with us, we're able to clarify some things for students and families, and we can go ahead and let them know what the repayment, what the loan repayments will look like, what their options are. We can help them break down. In some cases, students who haven't, they're not familiar with the paperwork, they may not know the difference between grants, loans, scholarships, and we're able to look at that as a complete package and help them make sense of that.
Kalila, Shauna mentioned families. How involved are the families of these students in this process at the center?
I would say that the families are very involved. Just last week, Shauna and I were in the center, and there were two students. They were twins, and their mom came in, and you could really tell that the mom was very involved. She had her say, and the students had their say as well. But you could also tell that the mom cared, and so that she was very interested in seeing them doing better, than that the students don't have to become products of their environment. And so the students aren't the only ones coming in. Sometimes mom is coming in, dad is coming in. I've seen a couple of grandparents as well. So the families are very, very involved.
You know, having twins is wonderful, I'm sure. But sending twins to college at the same time, that is a bit of a problem, is it not? Faith, why is it, do you think, that many of these questions weren't resolved and answered while these people were in high school?
I think a couple of things happen. Sometimes the logistics get in the way. For instance, if I need full financial aid, but my housing deposit is due before any of my aid comes through, not having a $500 housing deposit can stand between me and enrollment in college in the fall. I have nowhere to live. Those kinds of issues we can help resolve, but the guidance counselor at the high school may not even know what the student's financial aid package is when school closes after the kid has walked the stage. So I think it's one of those falls between the cracks, and there's nobody there to pick it up. So that's why we're there. Many answers can be easily given. Some conversations are tough. Like Shauna's describing, when we sit with a family's financial aid award, sometimes we have to say, this is not a good move for your family because there's too much debt, or it's debt that is not in your best interest. Let's talk about other educational options. So not everybody who comes into the center is going to find a rainbow, but everybody's going to find a path. We can help everyone find a path.
The numbers that I have indicate that fully 10% of students who are accepted to college for the following fall opt not to go. What right. is the principal reason they make that decision?
Financial issues come up first. There may be emotional and social readiness issues that underlie the financial issues, but financial issues come up first. We do know, Don, that in our region, our counselors, our high schools are telling us they think among low-income students that that rate is probably between 30 and 50%. Wow. So their experience is between May 15th and September 1st, we lose that many kids. And they're it's harder to retrieve once time has passed.
And there are numbers out there, I'm sure you're familiar with them, with regard to how much difference over a lifetime income is generated by those who do go to college and those who do not.
That's right.
Yeah.
And we can't afford to keep allowing that gap to widen because of people falling through the cracks.
You said your objective is 50% by the year 2020. Was that or 2022?
No, 2020.
2020. What is the percentage now?
It's about 37%, and that's for a two- or a four-year degree. So we're not – the St. Louis Graduates is not necessarily saying that a four-year degree is the only route. We have very successful, productive, contributing members of our community with a trade and technical degree or a two-year degree. But we are saying education beyond high school is critical. A high school diploma is no longer sufficient.
Yeah. I'm going to turn back to the counselors here. I'll start, Shauna, with you with regard to other things beyond finances. And clearly that's the issue that everybody is focusing on here so far. But what are some of the others that you're confronted with?
Some of the other issues are paperwork. There's a lot of paperwork that needs to be submitted prior to walking through the doors in fall. And if a student doesn't maybe sign that paperwork, many of the systems have gone to online enrollment systems. They may be really confused about what they need to do next. And so some of it is just keeping in mind all the little pieces that need to get in, to go in place before they enter college in the fall. And as Faith said, our students leave early on. My students graduated on May 11th. I won't return to school until the beginning of August. So beyond finances, it can be anything. They may not. Our goal is to empower the student to be able to reach out, but they may think once they get that acceptance letter, everything is okay, and that's not always the case.
Kalila, are we talking primarily about youngsters who are going away to college out of town, or are we talking primarily about those staying within the region, or is it just a good mix of both?
I would say a good mix of both. A lot of our students are looking or hoping to go away to have that experience of being able to live outside of St. Louis. I do understand what that feels like. I'm from Chicago, Illinois, and I did not stay home. I did go out of state, so I understand how that feels, the excitement of I want to go away. However, we do encourage the students to look at what is your best fit, what's really going to work out for you. If staying home, you know, for the first year or two and then possibly transferring, whatever is going to work for you, whatever is going to benefit you, not only financially, but what is that institution doing for you as a student? So we've seen students who want to actually stay here in St. Louis, and we're encouraging them to do it. So we've seen a bit of both, a mixture of both.
We're going to take a break now. When we come back, we'll talk to a student who doesn't want to stay in St. Louis. I think you probably know this young gentleman. We'll talk with him in just a moment. Our subject today is that the transition between high school and college and some of the difficulties that young people face in making that transition, because the word, I guess, of the day is daunting. There's so much going on and so much to be aware of. This particular organization that we're talking about here today, under the auspices of St. Louis Graduates, the High School to College Center is what we're talking about. We'll come back and give you more information on that and with the young student that I mentioned a moment ago. My guests in studio, Faith Sandler, Executive Director of the Scholarship Foundation, co-chair of St. Louis Graduates, Shauna Cunningham is a counselor manager at the High School to College Center, and Kalila Beecham is a volunteer counselor at the High School to College Center. Back in just a moment. This is St. Louis on the Air on St. Louis Public Radio, 90.7 KWMU. Hello again, and welcome back to our conversation on the transition that high school seniors make, those seniors who are going to college, the transition they need to make over the summer to get ready for that exciting new part of their lives. There is a new program in town called the High School to College Center. It is being operated under the auspices of the organization's St. Louis Graduates. With me in studio is Faith Sandler. She is executive director of the Scholarship Foundation, co-chair of St. Louis Graduates. I have two counselors with me from the center, Shauna Cunningham and Khalila Beecham, with me in studio. Now, we had hoped to talk to a young student who has taken advantage of the resources that the center has to offer. We have been able to contact him if he's listening. Give us a call, and that would be Marquelo McDaniels, a student here in St. Louis. Okay, let's come back to our conversation and hope that Marquelo will come into it in a very little while. What can you do for the student with regard to – Sean, I'll start with you – with regard to student loans? I mean, this is a big part of it. I assume that a lot of this stuff should be handled much sooner than June, July, or August of the year the youngster is going to college.
Right. You're absolutely. It should. I can tell you that oftentimes as counselors in the high school, we don't see that financial aid award letter before the school year is out. We encourage them to bring it in so we can help explain to them exactly what their financial aid award letter means. But when they come to us at the center, we are able to look at loans. Again, we send them to the Scholarship Foundation, to the experts, and we are able to meet with the students and the family to break down what exactly the loans mean. Oftentimes, students see loans. They don't understand the implications of a Parent PLUS loan or what the repayment, you know, what the repayment options, well, what that monthly payment would be. And in many cases, the financial aid award letter is awarding students money and encouraging them to take out loans, in some cases, for as much as their annual household income.
Wow, that's got to be a real challenge, Khalila, for a lot of the people that I know you're working with coming from homes that are just not there yet in terms of income.
Exactly. I do understand the story that Shauna has mentioned for a lot of our students. I was a first-generation college student, and while my mom and I didn't necessarily understand the terminology of some of my financial aid award letters, I know that I was able to use my community resources, not necessarily a high school to college center, but I was able to use community organizations around where I grew up to kind of explain to me. I would say that the terminology sometimes our companies or our financial aid organizations are not recognizing that the students themselves may not understand the difference between private versus institutional aid. To them, it's just money. Mm-hmm. So
I want to come back and talk about some of those local resources. Faith will do that in a moment. But we have Marquelo McDaniels on the phone. We have reached him. And Marquelo, are you there?
Yes, sir. I am here. Good morning to everyone.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Do you all know each other? He's gone through the process. Well, it sounds like it's one big happy family here. I should point out that Marquelo is a graduate of the Clyde C. Miller Career Academy. His first choice of schools is Howard University. Well, how close are you to that objective, Marquelo?
I'm getting there. I'm having some financial troubles, but I can say that, I mean, I still have faith that hopefully my financial aid will come through with my scholarship or not. But if that does not happen, I'm glad that I did go down to the center, which I'll talk to you all about briefly later on and tell you how they helped me look at my other options and help me come to realization with school and the different options that I can take towards my school.
What specifically drew you to the center? It's a brand new operation.
Yeah, it's a brand new operation. Well, number one, they did excellent in their marketing. And also, I'm a peer leader with College Summit. And so by being a peer leader, you always get information and updates about anything that can help you not only empower yourself for college, but help others. So once I got the email, I looked at it, and I was like, that sounds very interesting. Then I kept receiving information about it. So I'm like, I have to go check this place out because I knew that it was some type of information there that I needed, and it was meant for me to get it as well as others.
I don't want to get too personal, and you can certainly agree not to answer any or all of this question, but give me some sense of the financial problems that you're facing and the potential for resolving them.
Well, the potential problem that I'm facing, I would be wrong if I wouldn't be honest. Well, attending a historical black college or university, they don't have as much funding as the our other universities. So, for instance, the School of Howard, they gave me the least amount of money versus me going to Mizzou, University of Missouri, Columbia, where they offered me the most money, where I don't even think I maybe had one student loan that I possibly have to take out, which was like $1,000, and that could have been made up in student loan. So I feel like that my financial situation is not realizing that can I go somewhere that it probably won't be most beneficial to me as far as my financial situation, or do I want to go somewhere just because if they're going to give me the most money, I'm not going to be as most satisfied, I feel like. So that's where I'm at. And knowing that I don't have that money right now, I don't have all of it, but I feel like that I have the will and the determination that I'm going to continue to write my scholarship, essays, and I'm going to continue to reach out to people and see if people can invest into my future so that I may later in life return that investment by helping out others. So that's where I'm at. I'm still a few thousand dollars short from attending Howard University, but I got good faith, and if that does not happen, I still feel confidence in my future and where I pretend to take my future.
You're not at a point where you would consider not going at all, obviously.
No, sir.
Yeah, because a lot of people do make that decision in the face of the kinds of problems that you're talking about.
Yes, sir.
Yeah. Kalila and Shauna, let me ask you about the kind of advice you give Marquelo or people just like him. I'll start with you, Kalila. What do you tell him? Have you consulted with him directly? Is he one of the?
I was in the high school to college center the day that Marquelo stopped by. My biggest piece of advice to not only him but to other students who may be in this same situation is to kind of think about futuristically what is better for me. Am I willing to make this possible sacrifice to take out some of the student loans so that I can be able to enjoy my undergraduate experience, or is it that I just want to make sure that the money is taken care of? I've been in this situation. I'm a recent college graduate, and so I know this story all too well. You know, I had to literally spread all of my financial aid award letters and take my mom and explain them to her because, like I said, I was a first-generation college student to say, okay, mom, this institution is giving me so much money. However, they don't necessarily have the program that I'm looking for. They don't have the resources, the student organizations, their job placement or their graduation rate may not be as great as this other institution that I would really intend to go to. However, they may not have that amount of money to offer me.
How about you, Sean? Anything that you would add to that?
You know, I would encourage Marquelo to consider all of his options, and I know that he is. One thing, he's very humble. I will say that Marquelo, you know, he was the College Summit Peer Leader of the Year, graduated top of his class, is involved in many different community organizations through volunteering. So this is a young man who really has not only done the work, but in all cases would be eligible for scholarships. But as he mentioned, his top choice school, Howard University in Washington, D.C., is HBCU, and they just don't have a lot of institutional funds to give this young man. So I would encourage him. I often encourage students in this situation, maybe save that additional scholarship or that loan that you might be taking out, save that for graduate school, and consider what some of your other options may be as an undergraduate.
Can I just add something here, Don? And that is that I think it's not realistic to expect an 18-year-old to know how debt works, how a loan works, or how much is too much. So I think we have to, part of what we're about at St. Louis Graduates and in the center is giving people information to make better decisions for themselves. So Marquelo needs to know, as does every student, that the average student debt now for a four-year degree is approaching about $30,000. If what he's being offered by Howard or somewhere else is more than that, he needs to think about and weigh his options as Kalila has described. We tell students, if your package requires you to borrow more than $10,000 a year, stop, don't sign the paperwork, get some advice, look at your other options, because repayment will be here before you know it.
Okay, Marquette, I'll ask you again, where are you in this on the basis of what you've just heard here?
On the basis of what I've just heard, honestly, I'm always open to new ideas, but as it still stands, I'm still confident, because I'm still strong in my choice of going to Howard University, and another reason is another thing that's not let's always I always like the fact is that when you do a lot of scholarships, won't be announced until like the mid summer. A lot of them that I applied for, so like just last week, I found out that I won a scholarship that I applied for like in December. So it's like you also have to remember those factors too. If like for instance myself, that I put in the hard work to fill out those scholarships and I did numerous, but I just don't know until now. So it's like that gap that I may have may be filled by those scholarships. But if that gap does not get filled, then you know I can still look at those options that I do have. But as it still stands, the Howard University will be number one.
How big a disappointment might it be if you wound up not going to Howard?
Honestly, it wouldn't be a big disappointment because I know my purpose in life, and I feel like that in life you can take many different routes to get to where you're trying to go, and not everything that you may expect to happen is going to happen. So you just have to be prepared, and I am prepared to go a different route if that's not the option. So,
Marquella, you are wise beyond your years, believe me. You've got your feet on the ground and your head on straight. One final question before we let you go. What role is your family playing in all of this?
What role does my family plays more so of a support system? I would say they support whatever my decision is. So if they believe that it's not right for me to attend, if it's not financially right, then they're going to support my idea. They're not the ones that's going to say, well, I think you should, or, you know, you might want to do this. They say, hey, Marquella, because this is your future, I have to want, in essence, I have to be the one that live with the decision to take on, rather possibly take on student loans or not take on student loans or possibly go out and go to a school or university that I don't want to attend. So they support me in anything and everything that I do. So,
well, good for them and good for you. And Marquello McDaniels, we want to wish you the very best. I hope that whatever dreams you have are realized and that the summer works out very well for you. Thank you for being with us.
Thank you.
That's Marquello McDaniels, and a young man wants to go to Howard University this fall. It's a bit of a struggle, but maybe he'll get there. We thank him once again for being with us. Faith, what help is out there for him? What organizations could step into this particular situation or any other and help this young man realize dream number one?
One of the things we're most proud of is the fact that this high school to college center not only came together quickly, but there are almost too many partners and contributors to mention on the radio. So Washington University has given us the space in which we operate. A local college access organization called College Bound, which actually has a national presence, has shared with us a management tool, a software platform that we can use to really work directly and purposefully with the students who come in the center. Scholarship Foundation is there every day providing the financial aid advice and also has the opportunity for students to apply to the Scholarship Foundation for support. We have a number of corporate funders who've put in grants to make this possible. City has been a fabulous supporter. And so I think that in the center, we have counselors from we have about 60 people staffing who come from all across the metropolitan area. We probably have 10 different nonprofit organizations that are sending staff to help support the efforts of the center: College Summit, College Bound, the Missouri College Advising Corps, St. Louis Community Colleges, the University of Missouri St. Louis. So this is a one-stop shop, but with so many partners and so many resources that students really can take advantage of.
But by the same token, I suppose we have to be careful not to suggest to any students who might be listening that you can just walk into the center and walk out with all your problems, financial problems, resolved.
No, that's very true.
Yeah.
That's very true. Our job is to give people the information and the support they need to make good decisions. And so for a person like Marquello, that may mean he learns about the St. Louis chapter of the Howard Alumni Association, which has a scholarship, mm-hmm. by the way. Mm-hmm. And it may mean that he learns that his second choice school is willing to put more money on the table because he's such a determined and impressive individual.
And he should be making it. This, at age 18, it's not too young to be making these key decisions, because that's right. Part of the whole process of moving on out of high school and into adulthood, if you will.
But what we heard from Marquello and we hear from many of our students is, my family is with me.
Yeah.
We may not have the knowledge or the resources, the financial resources, but they're going to be with me.
That's very important, too. I want to bring Brad into the conversation. He's been waiting online to talk to us. Brad, thanks so much for being with us. Go ahead, please. You're on the air.
Thank you, and good morning to everyone.
Hi.
I find that this is a very interesting conversation, and I'm glad that we're having this this discussion. And what I see is that through transition, I think, Don, you made that the statement earlier, it's a transition. I'm an educator, and I work with students through transition from high school to college to their professional lives or either to a trade school or whatever. What I see is that transition in terms of financial aid always looks at students going to college in August. I think there's a gap between when the student graduates and they should actually be looking at preparing themselves, if not already signed up for summer school and went to college or university. So I would like to hear what the panel has to say, and I'll take it off the air.
Thank you so much for calling, Brad. Shona, what do you think?
I think if I understand the question correctly, it's about what our thoughts are about that summer transition program that many colleges and universities offer. We do see students that are going into that situation. We had a young lady come in last week who will be attending her university summer program. She actually came in to borrow our computer and print out a form that needed to be sent to them in order for her to begin that transition program next week. I believe that those programs are very, very important, particularly with first-generation students. Oftentimes, they're able to get them acclimated to the campus, and you know, they're able to meet their peers, they're able to live in the dorms, they're able to experience all of that. So I, you know, I'm a fan of the summer transition program if that's available to the student, but not all students have that opportunity.
Not all campuses offer those programs, and those that do, I'm hopeful that more will underwrite the cost of them because many of the students we're working with either need to be earning money over the summer, but they certainly don't need to be paying for a non-credit earning summer program. The colleges and universities, if they wish to enroll them and see them successful, should be subsidizing those bridge programs.
Khalil, any other thoughts from you before I take a break?
I would say definitely looking at some of the community resources here in St. Louis, like the St. Louis internship program that is available for students who are in high school and who are recent high school graduates. I know that that's probably not education in a sense, but it at least gives them some sort of experience to help that transition of growing up a little bit before they enter school in the fall.
I want to encourage listeners who are probably faced with this transition period right now to come on into the conversation, be it parent or student. 382-8255 is the number. That's 382-TALK. You can send us an email at talk@stlpublicradio.org. We, of course, will take a tweet at STL On Air. Back with our guests in just a moment, Faith Sandler, Shona Cunningham, and Khalila Beecham in just a moment. This is St. Louis On the Air on St. Louis Public Radio, 90.7 KWMU. Hello again. Welcome back to our conversation about the transition that high school seniors who are going off to college have to make during the summer before they actually go off to their new world. And I have with me in studio Khalila Beecham, volunteer counselor at the High School to College Center, which is what we're talking about today because the center is brand new and it provides all sorts of assistance to young people wrestling with the problems that this transition sets up. Shona Cunningham, counselor manager at the College Center, and Faith Sandler is co-chair of St. Louis Graduates, which is the umbrella organization under which this new center, a pilot center, which most of us here at the table think is going to continue beyond this year. In any case, let me come back. And Faith, you had mentioned something prior to going on the air with regard to special needs. What are we talking about?
So anyone can come to the center for services at any time, but we do have some days on which we have special resources available. Every Tuesday, we have staff from St. Louis Community Colleges present at the center who can help students who wish to go to community college get as far as enrolling, registering, knowing their course selection right there at the center. So, as well as navigate their financial aid package. So if you're interested in St. Louis Community College and you haven't figured out how to get through all of that maze of paperwork, come to the center on Tuesday. On Wednesdays, we have Dylan Simonson, who's a Gephardt Scholar at Washington University, who's done a lot of work on what kinds of resources and services are available at the college level for students with special needs. with learning, emotional, physical, special needs that maybe need accommodation on the campus. So he's going to be available to help kids and their families figure out what's a good match, what resources are available. On other days, we have representatives from area universities, Webster University, Southeast Missouri State University, University of Missouri, St. Louis. So individuals who have a particular campus in mind should contact us to see whether there's a day that would be better for them to attend.
We have contact information, by the way, on our website at sdlpublicradio.org. We'll give the address and hours and what have you a little bit later in the program. Folks, if you're interested, grab a pencil and we'll give you that that information. I want to go back to the phones, and I have a couple of emails I'd like to read, but I do see in the notes that I received prior to this program that one of the things that you do is help people with living accommodations in these colleges. I thought all that stuff was taken care of kind of automatically. Apparently not. Kalila?
I would say that a lot of students don't recognize, okay, I've been accepted. I kind of have my financial aid package squared away. Oh, yeah, I need somewhere to live. So a lot of students and even myself, during that process, I was thinking, okay, well, they should already take care of that. Well, no, that don't make that assumption. So, yes, we do take the students through that housing process. So helping them fill out the paperwork, noticing, again, like I said, the terminology. Is there a deposit? When does this deposit need to be submitted? Is the financial aid office at your institution going to waive it based on your family's income? A lot of places do have that option to waive that student's housing deposit, and it's just a lack of not knowing.
Mm-hmm. Sean, I'm just astonished that this information isn't made readily and clearly mm-hmm. available to students once they're accepted.
Right, and some of it we talk about at the high school level. Other things they're not thinking about. They are so excited about getting accepted into college, getting those scholarship applications filled out. They're not thinking about the checklist that will go involve into them moving into a dorm. What do I need to take to my dorm? How am I going to get there? I worked with a family last summer. The family did not own a car. And so we needed to figure out and brainstorm. We were able to reach out and come up with some resources to move that individual's things to the dorm, as well as do a collection to make certain that student had what he needed for his dorm.
Let's go back to the phone. Some interesting questions coming in. We'll start with Elizabeth. Elizabeth, thanks for waiting. Go ahead. You're on the air.
Well, I called because I had the benefit as a non-traditional student to go to Berea College in Kentucky, which offers a four-year full scholarship for students of need. And it's based on academic potential and financial need. There's actually an income cap to get into the college. I graduated with relatively very little debt. But now I'm facing trying to get a master's degree, and I'm finding that the only way to do it is to take out student loans. And given that a college degree isn't what it once used to be, how do you recommend students that need to pursue higher education beyond a four-year college degree, who are first-generation college students, navigate that?
That's a pretty good question, I would say. Who would like to take it? Faith?
First of all, kudos to you for Berea. Great decision. And listeners who haven't yet pursued an undergraduate education might think about looking at Berea or other similar creative options. At the graduate level, sadly, it's very hard unless you're in something like a joint MD-PhD program. It's very hard to find funding that is not a loan. So I think students at the graduate level need to look at the cost, the level of debt, and the predicted earnings that they might be making in their chosen field. I don't think an undergraduate freshman knows what his starting salary is going to be, but I think at the graduate level, students should be expected to be much more focused, know what their career will be, and know a little bit about their starting salary.
You know, I heard a piece on NPR the other day with a young woman who was starting a career as a public defender, and she mm-hmm. was going to stay as a public defender for her entire career, she said, and she had calculated, given what they earn, that she would have her student loans paid off at age 65.
No.
I mean, that's the entire career spent doing. Yeah, you want to cry.
Yeah, and well, we find that in students who want to go into public service in health or law, it's a Pandora's box because they can't afford to stay in public service given the debt.
And we all lose when that happens. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Let's take another call. Peter is calling from St. Louis. Peter, thanks for waiting. Go ahead.
Yeah, actually, I just want to add a little bit to the conversation. I came here as an immigrant, and I wasn't even qualified to take financial aid. But what I did is I took a part-time job working in the hospital as a care partner. And that helped me pay for the 2 years lab tech program at the community college. And with that, I was able to make close to $50,000. And I now, because I wanted to go back to school, and I transferred to a bigger university now, St. Louis University, as a transfer student. And I finished my 2 years with zero debt. And now at the bigger university, St. Louis University, they give me a transfer scholarship and then the SLU scholarship. So about $33,000 a year, my out-of-pocket over there was about $3,000.
Fantastic.
And they offer me $10,000 to cover that. I don't even take the loan, but I just pay out-of-pocket. So,
fantastic. Congratulations to you.
Well, yeah, Shauna and Kalila were taking notes on that, by the way. Good for you, Peter.
I think it's very good that the student, if you come from a low-income family, you put that option in mind and then take a part-time job and then go to community college. And then I think the transfer students at the bigger university have more scholarship options than the one who come right up out of high school.
Great. Thank you, Peter.
And certainly transfer students do have more options if they've worked hard, have the GPA I'm guessing you might have, and the drive that you've demonstrated in putting your program together.
Yeah, we don't want to dismiss community colleges and the role that they play, the important role. I'm sure you run into that, Sean and Cleo, in some of your discussions, maybe that this is a better option than a 4 years institution.
I've definitely had the chance to talk with students about this, and I know that he mentioned being an immigrant, and I've even had to discuss with some of my undocumented students what institutions here in the state of Missouri, Missouri State, they have very, very, Missouri State University has a very good program where they are nurturing the process for these undocumented students and for students who may not be able to receive financial aid through the federal government. Mm-hmm. So I would say doing the research on these state institutions to see who is here as an advocate for immigrants, for undocumented students.
All right. Let me go to some email here before I take some more calls. We have a tweet from David who states what I think is the obvious. We all probably have alluded to this in the program. I'm glad people are here to help students learn about money and loans, but how about the cost of college? It's an outrage and a real problem. I think everybody is nodding. It is a big problem. Another email. My daughter is 37 and has been attending Phoenix University, is currently a senior. She has only 9 credit hours remaining for her BA degree. That's an online university. Okay. However, she has recently failed 2 classes and cannot get any more financial aid until she pays $4,000 to the school for those classes. She has 0 money. Does this really mean she cannot go on and get her degree?
I think it sounds like maybe she failed to meet satisfactory academic progress, which really, if that is the case often with some students that go away to school or they stay locally. If you are not making satisfactory academic progress, you are no longer eligible for federal aid, as I understand it.
Okay, well, that's the answer we have at this table here. Use whatever you've learned to your best use, please. Let's go to Owen in St. Louis. Owen, thank you for waiting. Go ahead.
I really want to echo what your earlier caller said about work. And you've been talking about loans and financial aid and all things like that. But I worked my way through the majority of university and was able to pay down that debt as I went, including the interest that starts the minute you take out the loan. And I think that anybody who wants to hire a college student is doing them a favor. Any student that assumes that they're not going to be working is making a mistake. And what sort of support do you all have for work-study issues or other employment during college years for students out there?
Who would like to, Shauna?
One of the things we've done in the center is for students that do qualify for the Pell Grant, they qualify for work study, in explaining to them what their financial aid award letter looks like, we've actually been able to assist them, empower them to get in touch with the university that they'll be attending, sign up for their work study, finalize those plans so they do have that work study option when they arrive on campus. So we're not an employment agency, but we do have those very important critical conversations with students about what it's going to take and are they prepared to do that.
And I would just add that we're amassing information on internships as well. So there's some research nationally that obviously a college degree is important, but employers are saying almost neck and neck with the degree is relevant workplace experience. And so for the students we're working with to get that, they need the formalized opportunity. And so internships will be key, not just the paid summer job or the paid a job outside of school, but the job in the field they wish to pursue.
You know, I was wondering about, I don't mean this to sound as a frivolous question, but what about issues like clothing? I mean, this is people of the income categories that we're talking about, you know, may not have the wherewithal to take what they need and have what they need and fit in some of these colleges. What advice do you give in this area? Khalilah?
I have encouraged a lot of my students to utilize the scholar shop through St. Louis Graduates, and it has really been beneficial for the students who I serve at Riverview Gardens High School in North County, St. Louis. So they've been able to not only use the resources there, but they've been able to use that clothing for interviews and some scholarship interviews and also for some summer internship interviews. So I have definitely encouraged my students because I was not aware of that community resource until a few months ago.
Mm-hmm. Well, Faith can set you straight on that. That's part of the Scholarship Foundation's operation there, and a wonderful institution it is, too, Faith.
I think, and I could go on and on about scholarship, but I won't. Thank you, Khalilah. I do think it's important that we let listeners know that if there's a critical need, like clothing, like food, like shelter, the worst thing to do is to suffer from embarrassment and not describe what your issue is, either at the high school to college center or at the college that you're attending. Tell people what you're facing, and you are likely to get help.
Time is really scooting away from us very quickly. What about follow-up? Do you do follow-up during the summer? And perhaps, I know it's a new program, but will you follow up during the school year?
We do follow up with the students, and before they leave the center during their initial visit, they are asked to go ahead and reschedule for them to come back to see us, and then we will also call them. If we haven't heard from you in a week or two, we're going to call you to make sure that that process is finalized.
We're also, in a lot more long-term sense, going to follow up with data. What happened? Did that student enroll? Can we verify the enrollment? And eventually, did that degree get completed?
We have just a few seconds. Faith, I'll ask you, where is the center and when is it open?
Thank you. It is at 618 North Skinker, so a couple doors north of Delmar on Skinker, right behind the pastry shop, the new pastry shop at that corner. We're open 12 to 5, 7 days a week, so Saturdays and Sundays as well as weekdays.
Can you just drop in?
From now until August 18th, you can drop in, you can call in, you can phone in. Our number is 314-932-6956. And we'd encourage students to let us know that they're coming or just come by if they're in the neighborhood.
All right. All of that information you just heard is on our website at sdlpublicradio.org. I want to thank you all so much for being with us and talking about the High School to College Center, which is under the auspices of the St. Louis Graduates. Faith Sandler is co-chair of St. Louis Graduates. With me in studio is Khalilah Beecham, volunteer counselor at the center, and also Shauna Cunningham, also a volunteer counselor at the center. Thank you all so much for being with us. I hope a lot of young people and parents were listening and that this was helpful to them. Thanks.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Hey, by the way, as we all know, Father's Day is this Sunday, and for an upcoming program, we want to know the best piece of advice your father ever gave you. We may include your answers in an upcoming program. Send us an email at talk@stlpublicradio.org. Include your first name, where you live, and the best piece of advice your father ever gave you. The email address, once again, talk@stlpublicradio.org. Tomorrow on St. Louis on the Air, we'll talk with former Governor Bob Holden about an upcoming cultural exchange that will bring two delegations of Chinese students to Missouri. Archive versions of past St. Louis on the Air programs are available for download or podcast at stlpublicradio.org. St. Louis on the Air is a production of St. Louis Public Radio, 90.7 KWMU. Thank you so much for listening. I'm Don Marsh.